Tony is writing something before I say anything. He anticipates the words before I speak. Well, hi there.
Hiya.
Hi there.
It's good to be with you once more. Most of you believe you have a free choice whether or not to come here and but I tell you, there's no free choice. You are compelled to come here.
It's true.
This is the way it's supposed to be. Or you wouldn't be here. You think you live there. You really think you have a choice in the matter. It's an ego blaster when I tell you that you have no choice. And everything you do is preordained. Every movement you make just really destroys the ego when you think of it. For there's no thing that you do in your life that is not preordained. So for you to be here means there is something within you that has been working for centuries. To put you where you're supposed to be today. But again, most of you come here with the impression that you want to be enlightened, you want to awaken. And yet you don't want to give up the stuff that's keeping you from being awakened. So the whole thing is very paradoxical, isn't it? On one hand, you can't help being here. On the other hand, you're here because you have a reason that's not even valid for you being here. You want to get rid of your problems, or get rid of your illnesses, or get rid of your poverty, or get rid of your spouse, or get rid of something, or add something to your life. This again is the wrong reason for being here. There is no reason for being here. You're just here. There's really no purpose to it. You think there's a purpose, but there is no purpose. Remember, your so-called physical life is similar to the life of the universe. The universe appears to be here, yet in truth it has no purpose. It has no existence, it has no substance. The same with you. You think you're here for a purpose, yet you're not here for any purpose at all. As a matter of fact, you're not even here. You appear to be here. Something appears to be here. yet there's only one. One ultimate reality. The one ultimate reality is a substratum of all your existence. What you're doing is you're playing games on the ultimate reality. You appear to come out of the ultimate reality as a person. You appear to exist for so many years, and then you appear to disappear. All this is taking place on the ultimate reality. Yet the ultimate reality never changes. It's always the same. The ultimate reality is all-pervading, omnipresent. You are that. You are the ultimate reality. So you are not the appearance that sits here, the appearance that talks, the appearance that goes through your life. That's not you at all. Waking up or being realized is just knowing this truth. Knowing it 24 hours a day. I'm glad you agree with me. Whenever the lamp agrees with me, it shuts on and off. The ultimate reality is none other than yourself. When you achieve this, there is everlasting peace, tranquility. There is unalloyed happiness. There's complete bliss. There's total joy. Just the way you are, and just the way things are. Most people believe when you awaken, things will change in your life. The things do not change. You change. The things remain the same, but now you see them differently. You see them as a false expression. They're neither good nor bad. But you are no longer that. You have become the ultimate reality. Therefore, the world no longer presses in on you with its bad things and good things and all kinds of things. You have risen above that. And just like a person being locked in a dungeon for 40 years, and they take good care of their place in the dungeon. They sweep the floors, make the bed, know what time they're going to be brought food. And their life becomes the depths of the dungeon. one day they try the door of the dungeon, the door has been open all the time. And they're able to walk out, totally free. If they would have tried the door 30 years ago, they would have been able to walk out also. But instead they accepted their fate as being locked in a dungeon. And so it is with most of us. Our dungeon, our prison, is our lifestyle. The certain life we're living, that we refuse to give up, the belief system we've got, that we've had for centuries, limited, shallow. This is our dungeon. This is our jail. Yet we don't know this. We think we're living a normal life. Just like the person in the dungeon was attached to the things in the dungeon because they've been there for 40 years. They really hate to leave, to go out in the fresh air. When they become accustomed to where they are. So it is with us. We're accustomed to the things we possess. We're accustomed to certain people we associate with. We're accustomed with the work we do and with the so-called fun and entertainment we have in our lives. Yet this is all limiting. But we don't believe it's limiting. We therefore go through certain experiences, good and bad, and we will not walk away from these things. This is what I'm referring to when I say many of you come here to awaken, yet you've got all kinds of stuff going on inside of you. Habit patterns that you think are normal. You have to scrutinize yourself. Really look at yourself. What you really do daily. Watch the way you act daily. Or should I say, watch the way you react. And you'll see what I'm talking about. Watch how you react to person, place, or thing. Observe yourself. Look deeply at yourself. See what you're holding on to. Again, in order to be totally free, you must let go of everything. I mean mentally, of course. Remember, whenever I tell you you must let go of everything, I am not referring that you must walk away from your home and your family and your work and your environment or anything else like this. These things must be given up mentally. Mentally, you must disassociate yourself yet your body will continue doing what it has to do. But as you begin to disassociate yourself mentally, the mind will become weaker and weaker. The mind will begin to dissolve, to become quiet and peaceful. And will rest in the heart center. When that happens to you, the I will become evident to you. The real I. You will begin to feel the real I. And you will know that you are not the body. You are not the mind. This is a very high place to go. But it's not the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is when the I itself goes into the heart, and you lose your individuality, and you become all-pervading. Yet you appear to be a body walking around the earth, doing things. But you know deep down in your heart that there is no body, and there is no doer. This all sounds very complicated to some of you, but it's not. Your real nature is ultimate bliss, absolute reality. This is what you are right now. Right this moment, this second. Only when you begin to think do you feel the I thought or the body thought. But if you repose in the I right now in the second, in this moment, you are the ultimate reality. This is why you should always take time to sit in the silence and observe your thoughts, inquiring to whom do they come. Thoughts have absolutely nothing to do with the ultimate reality. Yet some of you still believe and think you will not be able to function without a mind, without thoughts, without thinking. This you must find out for yourself. You must discover this for yourself. That you do not really need a mind to think. And you will be able to function very well without a mind. Except it will no longer be a you. True happiness only comes when the you has been transcended. Real happiness has absolutely nothing to do with physical happiness. Physical happiness is temporary. All physical happiness is temporary. No matter what happy situation you're involved in, it has to be temporary. For you are aware that the whole world, the whole universe is temporary. That the only thing permanent in life is change. Your everyday experiences will show you that. Therefore, when you become too physically happy, you do not want to go searching for truth. You are not interested in finding the self or reality. This is the reason sometimes certain people seem to be suffering. For in this way, they come closer to reality. Whereas if they were not really suffering, they would be out in the world doing all kinds of so-called happy things. And this would be very temporary. But this is not always the case. It depends on the individual. The more you are attached to things, the more you're going to have to suffer because you'll have to give it up sooner or later. Perhaps not even in this life. Remember that your experience in this particular life is only a split second in all eternity. Therefore, when a person goes through experiences and you say, well, this person has been an evil person all their life, and they're prosperous and they've got everything they want and they seem to be very happy, you are judging by appearances. When you understand this life that you have right now is but a split second in eternity, you will realize that life is a continuum. And the pendulum has to swing back and forth. You will go so far in your happiness and then go back the other way. The only way to get out of this trap is to awaken. This is the reason you want to awaken. Blessed is the person who has total happiness in this life and wants to awaken. For most people, if they had things that they want and desire, would not go after the classes that teach to awaken. Would not follow teachers that teach Advaita Vedanta. Very few are like that. This is why I share with you Do not allow this world to fool you. Maya is very precise. Maya will always fool you. Everything you see in this world is Maya. It's a grand illusion. The way to handle Maya is never to react to conditions. This is how you overcome Maya. This is how you become free. Maya will always present conditions to you, situations to you. Like Tom's car blowing up in the freeway. This is the way Maya works. Tom really wants to come to the meeting. He has his heart set on it. And the car pulls up. It's a cosmic joke. Don't take it seriously. This is how Maya works with you. And it will appear to give you everything you want. Then things begin to happen. If you do not react to Maya to begin with, you will not be hurtable. And then Maya will say, "He's found me out," and leave you alone. That's what awakening is. So we can say another sentence for awakening is when Maya leaves you alone. When Maya stops interfering in your life. When does this happen again? When you stop reacting to person, place, or thing. You have to do the work. And yet again, there's no work for you to do. You simply have to keep quiet. When you keep quiet mentally, you're not reacting. When the mind is making a lot of noise, you are reacting. This is what reacting means. When the mind is very active, it makes no difference why the mind is very active. As long as the mind is very active, you are completely enmeshed in Maya. Totally enmeshed in Maya. The more active the mind, the more you are enmeshed in Maya. Remember again, you are in the right place. Where you're supposed to be. Therefore, do not say you hate your job or you hate your environment or you wish this was like this and this was like that. Everything is just the way it's supposed to be. If you would only see this, you would awaken. Awakening means, this is what it implies, awakening from the dream. Just as when you are dreaming, no matter what is going on in your dream, when you awaken from the whole dream, not a part of it. Is a part of it still going on? The whole dream is gone, isn't it? Every detail is gone when you awaken from your dreams. Everything that seems so real is totally gone. There's not even a little piece left. The whole dream is completely, totally, absolutely gone. Yet the dream seems so real when you are dreaming. And so it is with this state. In order for you to awaken, this whole game of Maya has to be gone, disappear. You can't have Maya and be awakened also. Everything has to go. Do not think about this. Just let it happen. If you think about it, all kinds of thoughts will come and tell you all kinds of things. You'll say to yourself, well, will I be able to play tennis when I awaken? Will I be able to go to a movie? You're in Maya again. Whenever those thoughts come to you, you're meshed in Maya. You're back into Maya. There has to be a clean, total awakening. Where there are no thoughts, no actions, and no doing. Again, the paradox of this is you will be doing and you will appear to be acting. And things will get relatively better in your life. That's the paradox. This is the reason I always tell you that the finite can never comprehend the infinite. For in your finite mind you are saying to yourself, how can I be doing both? How can I not be attached to anything and yet at the same time be involved in things? You can. You are. You will. This is why it takes a simple mind to awaken. When your mind is so complicated, when you're full of theoretical knowledge, abstract knowledge, psychological knowledge, any kind of knowledge. This is what keeps you bound to Maya. Yet you keep on holding on to this knowledge because you feel that if you let go of it, you'll be a fool or a vegetable. Nothing is further from this truth. The truth is that the more you give up, the greater the happiness and peace that comes to you. For your very nature is happiness and peace. Do not be concerned what anybody else is doing. Leave everyone alone, leave people alone, leave things alone. Always realize you are in the right place. Do not strive to be in somebody else's place. You have nothing to fight, nothing to fear. Everything is on your side. There is nothing that wants to hurt you. Keep your life simple. Do not make this teaching complicated. Do not calculate the reasoning behind this teaching. Leave everything alone. Awaken and be free. All is well. Sit here in the silence. The force is more potent than when there are words spoken. There's more happening to you in the silence than when words are spoken. I must keep reminding you of this because most of you think when I stop talking, that's the end. It's only the beginning. Before and after the words, the silence becomes very potent. More than you can ever understand. When your mind starts thinking, catch it. Don't let it think. When the thoughts stop coming, hold on to the quietness, to the silence, to the eye. when the thoughts keep coming and quiet them as they come. The silence is the reality. Learn to love the silence. Treat the silence as a beautiful entity. As a Divine Mother, Shakti, the silence is all power. Never take the silence for granted. You should start feeling the sounds as God. Feel good when you are in the sounds. Up to you, up to now. Many of you have believed that the silence is nothing. It is a divine nothingness. Remember, it's out of the silence that everything comes. When you return to the silence, this is actually self-surrender. You are surrendering your ego, your lifestyle, your karma. Everything is surrendered to the silence. Remember, never believe that the silence is a waste of time. Just as we realize now that space is really consciousness, there's no such thing as space. It appears to be space, but it's really consciousness. The same way the silence is consciousness. It's a living entity. It's alive. It's reality. Therefore, sit in the silence and rejoice. The reason many of you you feel the silence of nothing doesn't amount to much is because you allow your thoughts to come into your head and you start thinking about your life and your experiences and your health and your body and all kinds of things. When I'm talking, you sort of listen to me when I'm saying, and you have no time to think for a while, as long as I'm talking. But when I stop talking, you have to sit in the silence. Then your thoughts seem to attack you. That's why it's better to sit in the silence than to hear me talk. Because at that time you can work with your thoughts, you can work with your mind, you can begin to observe the thoughts attacking you, and realizing you are the self, the silence. Thoughts have no power. Enjoy the silence. Rejoice in the silence. This is why in scripture it is written, "Be still and know that I am God." It doesn't say listen to a talk and know that I am God. It doesn't say listen to Robert's ramblings and know that I am God. It says be still and know that I am as God. Couldn't be plainer than that. When you're making a lot of noise, then you are aware that you are the ego. When you are in the silence, you become aware of I am. Funny how he has this backwards. You say, I want to go and hear Robert's talk. You should say, I want to go and hear Robert's silence. I want to watch Robert shut up. We get everything mixed up. Free to ask any questions. If you don't ask any questions, I'm going to eat all the prasad myself.
Some teachers say there's, you don't necessarily have free will, but you do have choices on this particular level that you can't make. And that, you know, there's nothing absolute. And the world could blow up, or it could continue to go on and maybe get better. And they say that there's no way then for predicting the future. Nobody seems to truly know what the future is. If everything was absolutely predestined, then it would seem to me that somebody could easily, maybe not easily, but could check out and find out everything that was going to happen.
This is the reason you had certain astrologers and certain psychics who have been able to an extent to go back in the future and go back in time, go forward in time also, and predict certain things that are going to happen. The only way to get out of the predestination is by turning inwardly and not reacting to things and going into the self. And then you're no longer bothered with predestination. Predestination only exists because the world exists, because you think you are a body. As soon as you realize that you are not a body, then there is no universe, there's no world, then there's no predestination. So predestination exists only for the person who believes they're a body.
Person who is not terribly comfortable with the way their life's been going. So, they use the proper techniques, mental techniques and everything. They make something out of their life. They create something and certainly wasn't there before.
This is Maya. That's all predestination as I was supposed to be. Always remember this. As long as you think you are a body, you are human, and the world is real, karma seems to exist, reincarnation seems to exist, predestination seems to exist. But when you turn within and transcend, then those things do not exist. They only exist in your belief system. You believe you are a person, then predestination exists.
This is another example. One teacher that I know says that before you come into this particular incarnation, there's a massive, massive blueprint far beyond what any computer on Earth could conceive of, possibilities in your life with an ultimate divine plan for your awakening. It doesn't necessarily happen, but within this massive blueprint, there are options, and there is movement within this blueprint, this overall blueprint of what it is do in this particular lifetime.
That's predestination. The blueprint is part of the predestination. What you are to do here is part of predestination. The changes that you appear to make is predestination. You think you're doing it yourself, but it's already been planned for you. But in truth, there's no blueprint, there's no predestination, there's no person. To whom is their blueprint? To the ego. To the person who believes they are a body. That blueprint is predestination.
Just to answer an old age-old question in the religious world, Robert, I guess what you're hinting is that when we're in the self or in the silence, there's freedom. And that a person that you, or are you saying that?
Yes.
And the person maybe can, I don't know how to say this, can do things that are outside of his predestination, but somehow the wording of that doesn't sound right. Can a person do things that he couldn't do as long as he thought he was a body?
As long as you think.
But except there's no doer.
Anytime you think, there's predestination. When the mind is in the silence and stops thinking, there's no predestination.
Anyways, what I had was a cute little goofy insight, which may not really work here, but it was like 300 or 400 years ago, there was a guy named John Calvin and a guy named Arminius in Switzerland, and Calvin preached predestination, and it just hit me that, like a little joke, that maybe Calvin was in his body and Arminius was self-realized, and they were both speaking the truth from their perceptions.
Perhaps.
Robert, getting back to the original dilemma, if somebody finds themselves in this kind of a quandary, that the basic issue, the problem doesn't exist if you don't get hung up on agreeing or disagreeing with Robert, does it?
True.
In other words, there shouldn't necessarily, I mean, you can get into confusion by sort of implicitly thinking you have to agree with Robert.
True.
So the thing to do would it not be to try to head for the silence and just let the agreement or disagreement take care of themselves?
Yes, that's very good. Find it for yourself. Stay in the silence and see for whom there's predestination.
Hard to say that there's freedom in the state of being in the self, because it's like you're really surrendered. There's no you, and you're also surrendered. So there's no act of taking options like we do, like we think we do in the body state.
Exactly.
So it's not, I don't know how to call it. It's surrender and maybe trusting and letting one become involved in situations that one would not have planned if they were planning out of their body mind. But it's not freedom in the sense of choosing options. It's maybe like trusting options, letting them happen. Huh?
Those are the beginning stages. Yeah. When you surrender, the one who surrenders disappears.
Yeah.
And there's nobody left.
Yeah.
Therefore, you forget about options, you forget about everything.
You just see things happening that you just kind of watch your body mind doing it.
Nobody's left to watch. The watch is also dissolved. You just are a pure being.
Yeah. And the whole idea of freedom or no freedom becomes irrelevant.
Exactly.
There always has to be a separate you there for these questions to arise.
True, of course. There has to be a separate you to talk about predestination, to get into all the things we're talking about. When the separate you is gone, there's nobody left to do anything. Then where does predestination come from? It doesn't exist.
To a person observing the self-realized person, they probably would say, what a free person. But to the person who's self-realized, I guess what you're saying is they don't even know that they're planning anything. Nothing's being planned.
Exactly.
Robert, what was the state that you would say was a very high state in which you know yourself as the I and yet it's that is the state just before the I is pushed into the heart and dissolves. What would that state be called?
You can call it Nevakalpa Samadhi. When you are aware at times that you are the I, then you come out of it. You become aware of it again, you come out of it. When the eye stays in the heart and never come out of it again, and the eye remains in the heart, that is Sahaja Samadhi. We are aware 24 hours a day. And you're no longer part of any heart or any system whatsoever.
Is that your condition? Sahaja Samadhi?
I don't have any condition.
I know, and there's no you to have a condition. Nonetheless, you just described the state and called something Sahaja Samadhi.
That's what I say.
Yeah. Is that where you're hanging out?
I can't say.
No you, but is that what's occurring?
Who's the
language? Language is
very... Hey, you're not going to get no answer.
Yeah, it's your dead meat there, buddy.
If I said I'm hanging out inside of somebody...
Who's that?
There's an eye hanging out.
Forget it.
Oh, yeah. Let's drop. You got some out
let's
now.
Drop.
These words are just explanation for nothing.
It's a little terrifying to realize that the body-mind doesn't really want realization, that the body-mind is only purpose to its own fulfillment, its own self-fulfillment.
Why is it terrifying?
Because it just explodes all the wants of the body and the whole purpose of who we are. Who the ego is. I mean, it's like, it just like cuts through everything to realize that the body-mind is our own worst enemy. Like, I who I think I am, my whole life of I, is the enemy. The ego-I is the enemy. It's like, you know, to realize that is like shattering. Because there's nothing left to help the search anymore.
That's the way you see it now. But when it actually happens, it's not terrifying at all.
Well, from the point of view of the I, from the point of view of the ego, it's absolutely destructive.
There's no ego to destroy. There never was an ego to begin with. So what actually happens is total happiness and peace. Because what you thought was the ego was really the I am. Pure awareness.
In other words, all the purposes that the body-mind is after is absolutely invalid and has no value whatsoever.
True.
And that's really, from the relative point of view, that's really a shattering blow, you know, that it all has to go.
why should it be shattering when you realize it never existed to begin with? Even though if you realize it intellectually, it shouldn't be shattering, it shouldn't be frightening. You just realize, tell yourself, all this time I believed I was an ego, and now I know I'm not an ego.
What forced us into creating one?
What's that, George?
What forced us to create this ego?
What force creates the ego?
Yeah.
No force.
Why?
Because there's no ego.
If we had no ego, we were born as a self, why did we have to create this outer Maya trappings called ego to cover up that silence in the self?
Ask yourself, who created all this? Who did this? You never were an ego. There never was a time when you created anything. It's just an illusion that makes you think you're doing this thing. That you have to shatter the ego, that you have to have an ego or do anything with your ego at all. You were never an ego and you will never be an ego. Maya is like the water in the mirage. Ego is the mirage. You're hypnotized believing that you are an ego, and you have to shatter the ego. Where in truth you never were an ego, there's nothing for you to shatter. You are totally free right now. But what you're doing is you're holding on to the ego by thinking you have to shatter it. Identify with the freedom.
Why do we hold on to it?
Ask yourself. It didn't exist to begin with. And nobody holds on to anything. But yet you appear to be holding on to it. So find out why by going within.
Does each person have their own reason?
Each person who believes they're an ego has their ego life living, they're living an ego life of various kinds. So each person's ego is an idea of what their life is about.
What comes to me right now is it's the fear of becoming one with all of life and losing
your individuality?
Right.
You never had an individuality to begin with. Therefore, when it happens, it's not at all like you think it is. You'll be home, free where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, but I'm afraid to be home without me.
Good point.
That's the way you feel now. But when it actually happens, you won't feel it right.
Everybody wants to get to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there.
That's a good point.
They want realization, but they want the ego to have the realization.
So, how are you going to enjoy it without an ego?
Right. That's the point.
You'd be surprised.
Kind of on the same lines of the question that you asked, they say that God created man in the universe to amuse himself. Does that sort of segue into an answer to your question?
Well, if you want to find
my frustration and torture.
But remember, you are God too, so Maya or, man in the world was created by us who are all God to amuse ourselves.
Sounds like a masochistic status relationship.
I wouldn't buy it.
None of this is going on. We're talking about appearances. We're talking about the I thought, what appears to be. This is the reason why you're supposed to follow the I thought, which is the root cause of everything. The so-called I thought is the root cause of all existence and all the problems. Therefore, when the I thought is destroyed and doesn't exist anymore, none of these questions, none of these things will exist at all. Everything will disappear. But when you work on getting rid of your ego by itself, you have a fight in your hands. That's why get rid of the I thought, by following the I thought to the heart center, to the source. And when the I thought disappears, everything else will go with it.
Necessarily even thought, but just that whatever it is that I or me is. Be a little more specific exactly how you state with that. My interpretation is just the sense of my own actuality, just being there with that. Nothing left over. Is that what you mean by staying there with the I or the me?
Not really. When you stay with the I or the me, you are abiding in the I, and you're following into the I, to the source. You do this by inquiring, to whom does the I come? When you inquire, to whom does the I come, you are abiding in the I.
So that is inquiry.
Yes.
What about just the stage of just being? That's fine until a thought comes up.
Then you go back to the beginning and inquire, to whom does the thought come?
But if the thoughts don't come up, there's no sense in, you know, ruining a good thing.
If no thoughts come up, then you're free. Remember, all these methods is to quiet the mind.
It's my understanding, though, that when you're free, I mean, thoughts will still come up.
No, thoughts will not come up. When thoughts come up, then that's free.
I thought that when you're free, that there's just, you know who you are, and there's all these things coming up, whether it's appearances or the world, and then also thoughts. Also,
no.
I mean, it doesn't happen at all.
If they come up, then you're bound.
The mind is permanently annihilated.
The mind is killed.
It's wiped,
destroyed.
Will Les left know how to set the alarm tonight and wake up tomorrow? Go to work and do all the things that the old ego was doing before?
Something will do everything.
Will I show up at work on time?
Of course. I'll even come earlier.
We're tired. What a longer day.
He'll show up without, his body will show up at work, but he won't be there with
him. He'll
be home. He'll be home sleeping.
Best of both worlds.
Robert, this confuses me a little bit because
a little bit.
Teacher, I'm thinking about, too, who's written about his experience of enlightenment. Well, I started testing my state, you know, when a thought would come up or something like that, see how I responded to it and everything. So that's not enlightened then for him. That was, you know, deepest thoughts were still coming up.
What's the question?
Well, the thing is, I was thinking about somebody's description of, you know, after they became enlightened, they felt that they were, knew that they were prior to everything. That, so when the thoughts would come up, you know, it wouldn't interfere with anything, but because they knew that they were the prior condition to all this.
There's no one left to know anything. And they realize person, the knower, the known has been destroyed. There's no knower left, there's no known left. There's no knowing left. Those conditions are all gone. There's no one to know anything. It just is.
Is there a situation in which the mind simply becomes more and more quiet, and then we're realized, or does